Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for February 18th, 2024. So, as I was saying, we have a lot of questions. It's great, the level of questions and the almost answering the question within the question shows the level that people are really absorbing the material and working with material. So, I love that. I want to spend a little extra time with Craig, Evan, Danny, when she gets here, and Anu. But let's whip through the other ones. So, Kathleen is not with us today. She is a cash flow kitten. She coaches actors, that's her side biz. She's been coaching for a year now, joined cash flow a month ago. She has a web presence and I've been going through the audio courses slowly. I've already reached out to potential clients on various actors' Facebook groups and one drama school where I know the director of the acting program. I did the reaching out in 2 days, and four clients reached out to me since then. Yay, huge victory. And she's wondering, what do I do from here? I feel stuck. So, what's my next step after having reached out to people on Facebook and one acting school? So, definitely more of this because it is working. You've had great responses from reaching out. And I suspect that you've reached out in areas where you're kind of like already warm in that Facebook group and people kind of know you. And now you might have to start reaching further afield. I would also mention that you coach actors to everybody you know. Maybe not every single person, but most of the people you know, because they will know actors. And then it really is about two things. One, who can be funnel people? Who can be people who could maybe consistently send me clients? So these people are going to be people who work with actors or work with people who want to become actors, but who are not coaching acting. Dance teachers, voice coaches, therapists for artists, anybody who works with groups of actors who are not coaching acting can be funnel people for you. But the second thing that you need to start to brainstorm, and this might be something you can identify yourself, and if it's not, start to have a few conversations with people who know you well, who can maybe help you pinpoint and identify this. What differentiates you as an acting teacher? Because if you tell me, hey, I coach actors, I'm like, great. I mean, I can file you in the file under acting coach, but if you coach a specific type of actor, for example, Dorothy Dillingham Blue, she coaches performers who want to be pre-professional who are younger. So that's her niche right there. And her niche is that she's really putting the polish on performances and get an up leveling people. Maybe you're starting out with people who've never acted before, and that's your niche. You know, people are like, whoa, I wonder if I could do this acting thing. I don't know. It could be a certain gender, it could be a certain people with a certain background, people of a certain age, or it could be a specific technique that you use. Maybe you blend acting coaching with something else. I'm not saying you have to go out and, oh, I got to figure out how to blend acting coaching with. No, I just want you to think about what you naturally do with people. Maybe you are super great at creating this really safe, comfortable environment where people can really like stretch themselves and explore a role with real freedom. I don't know. But it will help if you can start telling people that you coach actors and tell them who you love to work with. Now, you can work with lots of other people, but it's not saying you're exclusive. You just specialize. That word specialize is really important. And you had a mindset question around you charge $50 an hour right now, and you're like, oh, people have said I should raise my prices, and I'm kind of I'm nervous about that. If I were to raise my prices, I don't know how to announce that to my regular clients. You can keep the clients you have at the rate of $50 an hour and just start raising new clients. And a word you're going to hear a lot today, everyone, is experiment, especially around prices. Just experiment. Like, experiment with maybe your new clients charging $65 and see if anything explodes or if anybody dies. And if no one explodes or dies and someone says yes to $65, well, if one person says yes to $65, surely there are other people out there who are going to say yes to $65. And it's okay if you overshoot it. Let's just say you were like, okay, I'm going to raise it to $100 an hour and it's crickets. That's okay. Just change it. This is your business and you can do whatever you want with it. So I congratulate you, Kathleen, on the work that you've done already. I'm so sorry you can't come to the coaching calls, but I hope that helps. Okay. This is just going to be me talking a little bit. Anise, are you here? Yes. Anise, okay. So you have said you are a cash flow cat. We're talking about your wedding choreography and intimacy coordinating. Those are the two things you do. You were asked about Instagram and you looked at the creating cash flow material and how I suggest you approach Instagram, and you've got it. And you're wondering if your Instagram serves as a mini portfolio for your work or sharing information or both. And really, I want you to think of your Instagram feed as a second website. It's just a website that you're just putting little things. So it's like a portfolio, but it's also information sharing. You don't have to do a lot of teaching because Instagram doesn't really push your feed out there unless you're really super active in the comments and posting and. But you can have information so that if people check you out, there's a greater chance people are going to check you out on Instagram first before they even go to your website. So it's good to have your Instagram show a little bit about who you are, what you're into, what you like, how you help people, like all the things. Congratulations that your victory was she's been composting for 6 months now. Hey. Save the world. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And you asked about pricing. So if your clients who want a full dance and choreography for their wedding, you're charging $750 as a flat rate, which is usually 4 to 6 sessions. But if people just want, like some steps or to learn kind of like how to dance, 2 to 4 1-hour sessions. And you were like, should I charge between 400 and 500? Again, experiment. Pick a
Okay.
price. And here's how you pick a price. You're able to say it without like, stuttering and getting flush and then immediately offering a discount. Like you want the price that you feel in alignment with saying. And then your goal is to get in alignment with higher and higher prices, but you've got to start somewhere. So anything between 400 to 500 and then see what people say. And if people are like consistently like, oh, I don't know, I don't know. First, you have to check if your marketing is on point.
Yeah.
And then maybe you just adjust your prices. So it's all about experimenting. Okay, next. Oh, Anise, I thought you were here.
Yeah,
But I didn't really,
I
did you hear
am
that?
here. Yeah, I can get that. It's I don't something's going on with my video. It won't let
That's
me
okay.
turn it on. So, but I did hear. I hear all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we have time, I'll circle back to some of these if you have like questions that you want to fine-tune around my answers. But just for the sake of moving people forward,
Yeah, definitely. That was enough. It was more so like a check-in,
Yeah, you're
like and that
so.
clarification on the Instagram, because I do think people will see that more than my website. So
Yeah,
yeah,
you are
thank you.
so on the right track. Ileana. Okay, so Ileana is a multi-hyphenate, wonderful performer, writer, and she also has a writing job right now. And you have been experimenting with a different way of working. You used to be like, oh, I wanted 2 to 4 hour blocks of time to really like do a project. And now you're like, I don't know. Now it's like I do an hour and then I take a break for like 20 minutes and do something else. And then I feel ready to dive back in. And so it's been more kind of like variety, similar to the Pomodoro technique. Google that if anyone's curious, which is shorter blocks. You're talking about like a larger block of time with a little break. You're coloring it the charcuterie work. I like that. And you were just asking me like, is this good? Are there other things that like people who like variety find beneficial? And you wrote, I'm wondering if giving myself a menu of alternative tasks to do that move forward goals in all my life zones, or if that's even necessary to have a menu, if that's too much restriction to add when I've already identified that the freedom part of this is the what I like. And I'm like, yeah, there is no right way. There is only the way that works well for you now. The deep focus sessions used to work great, and now this variety is working. So there's no need to think, oh my God, is there a better way? I mean, you'll just keep experimenting if this stops working for you. Do you have any questions around that? I mean, it just all sounds lovely to me.
Okay, great. Thank you. That was it.
Yeah. Let's just have like a stamp of approval. And I'll just stamp these. No, that was, I'm not being like I said at the top of this, and the reason I'm going fast is I got 14 questions submitted, but what I said at the top of this session was that I can tell by the way people are almost answering their own questions in their questions that you are absorbing the material and the coaching. And that's really positive to see. So when I'm like, yes, that sounds great, it literally, yeah, that sounds great. And I really don't have much to add. If we had all the time in the world, I could ask you some questions and stuff. But I'm not just saying, sounds great to breeze through these because that would be against what the point of all of this is. So thumbs up means thumbs up, and you're amazing. Dorothy Dillingham Blue is a cash flow cat. She is a performing arts coach for ages 10 to 100. Okay, so this is, first of all, Victory, new competitive dance client in Missouri. Woohoo! A student from a couple of years ago who came back. And did that. Congratulations. That's always
Thank
fun.
you.
Repeats come back. So we had been brainstorming a couple of sessions ago and sort of figuring out a title for like what you do. And we had circled around like performance enhancement coach. But I totally understand that on second thought, you're like, ah, it's a little Viagra-ish, performance enhancement. Some people are already using that. So like what else? And you had sort of thought like the mentor with mom energy. That's okay. It's just, I think, okay. So once you state, and you can state this under your name, you can put it, definitely put it on your website, Instagram, because what you actually do is I'm a coach for professional and pre-professional performers age 12, 10 and up. So now I know what you do. You're a coach for professional and pre-professional, like wannabes, performers, age 10 and up. Because you can polish acting, you can polish dance, you can do a lot of things, just the whole performance of it. So you're a coach, and the two words I was thinking of, I'm like, okay, so what do we really mean by performance enhancement? Like, what are we actually doing? What are other more colloquial words for that? What you're really doing is you're polishing and shine and helping people shine, Polish and shine were two words that I came up with. Also, up level is another way of saying it. I think that's a little overused and not as creative and fun sounding, but you really polish people so they can shine. So,
The people polisher.
you don't, I would actually say, and this is coming from someone who, oh my God, if I collected all the pieces of paper that I was writing, all the different ways, what to call myself throughout the years. And sometimes what we do is a little difficult to nail down. We're going to talk with Craig more today in depth about that. You don't actually have to have, I'm the blah, blah, blah. You can just be, I am Dorothy Dillingham Blue. And I'm a coach for professional and pre-professional performers age 10 and up. And I really up-level performances, put the polish on it so they can shine. So now, one way to talk about yourself, that's sort of like a little elevator pitch. One way to talk about yourself is what you do for people. In your case, I put the polish on their performances so they can really shine. Another way to talk about it is to lead with the problem you solve. So you could also come at it from the angle of I take performers who are nervous about this or worried about this or who aren't quite hitting it at the level they know they can, and we get them over the finish line. Like the problem, or this is what I do. Another example of that is when I talk about, I coach caregivers. And so when I talk about that niche, sometimes I'm saying, like, I help people who feel torn between their own goals and the needs of those they love. So that's starting with the problem. If I'm talking about what I do, is I help people stay connected to their own life and goals while they give care. So that they can give care without feeling guilty or tired. No, there's three words, and I don't have them memorized, obviously. Guilty, something and something. It's on my website. But you just have to have a little mouthful of things that you can say when someone asks or when it's on your website. But I don't think you need to have like that cute little, like, this is what I do. I mean, I landed on change strategist merely because I didn't want to call myself a life coach. No one knows what a change strategist is. Sometimes I call myself a strategic coach. So it's something that you might eventually figure out, or you might eventually, someone might say it to you. Oh, this is what you do. And you're like, yeah, thank you so much. And then you write it down. And I don't think you have to worry about it. So,
Okay.
how does that sound?
Pretty good. Because I've created a couple like marketing pieces that I, because especially in those Facebook groups when they're like, hey, who, it's the first of the month. You know, every first of the month, those groups are like, we let go of our no advertising rule on this thing. So, and I've done well with those so far, like getting one client per month, which is, I mean, for just starting, I think that's great. So I was just kind of looking, I don't know if I could like put these in the chat that I've used so far for feedback from the group or whatever, but yeah, just kind of,
Do
I
you
want the
mean
next one.
you have some that you could read right now, Dorothy?
Yes, I have like visuals and I have ones. So what's this one? Where'd it go? Okay. So the one I had for January was Creative Coaching for Everyone with Dorothy Dillingham Blue, acting, dance, singing, and more in person or Zoom. And then a link to my link tree. And then another one that I had before that was, I can't remember where it is, but it was the one. And it has a pic, the first one has a picture of me in the middle. The second one has a picture of me, but also a picture of me like surrounded by children. And that's the one that had
the acting, dance, singing, in person Zoom, ongoing auditions, and then the mentor with mom energy. And so, I
Yeah, and
think
did that get a good response?
both of them did. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if it's working, then
Right. Yeah. And I think
it's
it also
amazing.
depends on the space that I'm advertising
Oh,
into.
yeah. So
Yeah, for sure.
mentor with mom energy could work really well, especially for younger, because it's the parents that are really hiring you.
It's
Yeah.
right.
So just keep experimenting.
Okay.
I would shy away from coaching for everyone
Got it.
because, like, yes, that's true. And I'm sure Craig can help a whole rainbow of people, but you'll get a variety of people, but you want to be able to speak a little more specifically because you want people to go, oh,
Yeah.
that's me. You want people to raise their hand and go, oh, she's talking to me. If you're talking to
Yeah.
everybody, no one really pays attention.
Gotcha.
Because we're
Gotcha.
all looking for the people who we feel can help us. Yeah. You're on the right track.
I
Yeah.
yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Good to talk to you. Cricket. Cricket, aside from her day job, is a film festival consultant for people who want to get their features and shorts in festivals. And she has an executive director of the festival that she works for. And we're talking about putting a little, like, hey, here's our agreed upon responsibilities, so the scope creep of your job doesn't creep out. And you were just like, does this look good? It looks great. And the only question I had when I finished with this is, do you get paid for this position? Because there's no mention of money in here.
I didn't, yes, I do get paid for it. I would call it more of an honorarium that is not by the hour. It's not really commensurate with what I bring to the table, but it is an honorarium, I guess.
Okay. And you've never had any trouble getting paid.
No.
Okay.
No.
I would put a final line in there
Okay.
going, any work outside of the above will be considered, like, will be taken under consideration, and if agreed upon, will be billed at my consulting rate of blah, blah, blah. So it's like, I'll do all of this for the, gift certificate to McDonald's that you're giving me. But anything more, there's actual, like, yeah, because all that line will do, they'll forget about that line. But it's a line you can refer them back to when they're asking you to please, 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 please do that one extra thing. And you're like, I don't want to do the extra thing. So you can go, well, I can, but then this line 13 kicks in. Is that something you're interested in? And they'll be like, oh, no, we can have somebody else do it. Precisely.
Excellent.
I just think it really is the kicker at the end that just, like, yeah, this is it. This is it. Yeah. So that's what I'd add. And your victory is you finally filled out the annoying paperwork at college at a college to get paid for a consultation that you did last fall. Woo-hoo!
Yes.
And you have two new potential clients that came by referral. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
I'm very excited.
amazing.
Very excited about that.
I'm excited for you. So
Okay.
that I really do think everything else you said there was nothing I was curious about except the money part.
I think I need to nail down the dates with them. That's
Oh
where we're
yeah.
going to run into issues.
I saw the, like, blank spaces and I just assumed you would fill those in.
Yeah, yes. And there's never been any job description. So I just wrote all of that.
Right. Yeah. And is there anything on there that you don't want to do?
No, it's basically the things that I have done in the past. The main issue is I might need to I might need to have a conversation about this one other element about where our panelists are coming from. And because there were some issues that I don't want to run into again.
Yeah. So maybe when you, and that wouldn't necessarily go into the agreement. It would just be like, I would like to talk about this before.
Right.
Yeah. So I would, the when you're delivering the agreement for them to look over and sign,
Yeah.
then you just have like a little cover in your email saying, here's the attached. Please read and sign and give me a picture so I know we're on the same page. And this is another issue I would like to get clarity on. When do you think we could meet about it or whatever?
Great.
Or attached is my thoughts on how we should proceed with that. Let me know what you think. Like you can, however you're going to do it.
Okay, that
Yeah.
sounds great.
Yeah. Look at you doing business.
I took all these notes when we talked about it in November, and I didn't do
Yeah.
anything with it. And then in the last 2 weeks, I got bitten in the butt by this twice. So I felt like I have to do this.
Yep.
If we had
Good.
more time, I would share the details, but I will let
Yeah.
you know.
I will look forward to hearing them.
All right.
Okay,
Thank you
awesome.
so
Great.
much. I'm so excited. There are so many people here.
I know,
Great.
it's great. And thank you. Yeah, and congratulations on the victories. Sweet. Love it. Helen Highfield, are you here? Yes, you are. Helen Highfield of Highfield Home Interior Design and Styling, along with being a magnificent performer, Cashflow Cat, she has a question. Okay, so I'm running into potentially needing to adjust how I'm charging. I've been doing an hourly rate, brought in packages of hours, 5, 10, 15. I find I'm underestimating how many hours projects are going to take. That's the hardest thing with like interior designing and organizing. With my newest client, I'm realizing I need to get into some trade programs so I can be marking up items that I'm buying on their behalf. Should I be charging a design fee as well? I feel like I'm leaving money on the table and want to grow to the next level beyond just the hourly fee. Also, starting to eye potentially needing subcontractors, even if it's just a task rabbit. Should I hammer out an official contract, maybe do a separate bank account? All the things. The separate bank account, do you just mean you have your own personal account and then you just, yeah, you definitely should open a Highfield Home business account. It doesn't have to be under Highfield Home. It can just be you, but that's just where all your business money runs through. So you can show the IRS, I only use this bank account and this credit card for all my business stuff. That's how I do it. And then here's all my personal stuff. Yeah. And yes, if you subcontract or have somebody help you, definitely a little agreement so it doesn't bite you in the butt. This is just, it's so that you're on the same page. These are all the things that I expect. Yeah. And this is all very normal, next level questioning. And what do you mean by a design fee? As opposed to,
I don't know if I know what I mean. I feel like I've heard that thrown around. I've also heard, marking up, well, there's the trade discount, and then you can just like pocket the 20% that they're saving. But then people also sometimes mark up beyond that,
yes.
or marking up beyond anything with the trade program. And then I'm like, I've just heard various terms. It is confusing. I'm confused.
There's so many ways to do it. And until you get the trade discount thing, you can just say, I charge an extra 10% for shopping, or my hourly shopping fee is this.
Got
When I
it.
was an organizer, oftentimes it was just so much easier for me to go to Target and buy all the stuff, and I would overbuy and then return. And I just charged a lower hourly rate for that.
Yeah.
So that's the easiest way to do that. And then you can say, either I can give you a list and you can go out and get it and look for the right pillow that has orangey rust tones, or I can look for it
Right.
and do it that way until you get your professional stuff all sorted with,
Yeah.
but yeah, people do pocket the difference and do a markup
Right.
sometimes. Depends on the clients you're serving. Yeah, but this is all really good stuff. And you might start looking into if there are any Facebook groups or other sort of online groups with people like yourself who do interior decorating, because then you'll start to see how other people are doing their business. But
Yeah.
now that you're really getting clients, it would be good for you to learn the best practices specific to your business.
The designer that I work for, who's in the next question, I've asked her a few times, and she gives me these kind of wiggly answers that are, it seems
Well,
like,
yeah, she's not a good source.
yeah, it also just seems very political. It's like I'll mark up some things, and then because I'm doing this person a favor, then I only charge them this many hours, and that just sounds exhausting to me. So I'm trying
Yeah.
to, yeah, okay, online
You
group.
don't have to do it like that. You can design your business however you want to. And she, I don't, just from the little bit that I've heard about her, I wouldn't like, I would, she's a little, it's a little messy over there. So you strike me as a crisper, cleaner type of person. So just do your business crisper and cleaner. And the way you should set up your business is so that it works for you. She has set it up so it works for each of these individual clients. And that's just heavier lifting. And this is your side business. So it should, first and foremost, all side businesses should work for you so that you can do the actual thing you really want to do in the world. That's the point. And then you find the clients who are like, great. And most clients, there's two types of clients. And I believe if you set up your business so that it works for you, you will attract the clients who are like, great. And yeah, I'm hiring you to lead me through this, versus like she's done, which is sort of catering to her clients. Then you get these fussy clients who are trying to lead. I need it this way. Can I get a discount? Can I da da da? And it's like, no, you're hiring me to lead you through this. And if you don't want that, there's plenty of other designers who will let you lead them. It's a different energy.
Yeah.
And I think what happened with her is she probably just started out and was like, oh, I need a client. Oh, I need to get another client. And then her business got successful, but she was still doing this like catering thing because she's very afraid to lose anybody. But if you're like, this is my business, it's structured to serve me, and I'm going to build a muscle of finding clients. So I always know I can find another client. Yes. Okay. So this woman that you're working for, she was like, okay, we're going to downgrade your job because she wants to do her own social media, which is fantastic. And then you were like, okay. Notice how when that work went away, acting and other coaching. Yeah, not a bad thing. And so I would suggest. So what you wrote is she's asked me to work a couple of days on a marketing project, though I'm not really sure what the tasks are. And I said, yes, for one day for the money. I'm not sure how to tell her that I'm happy to style her photo shoots for the day rate that we've already agreed upon. Though I know I will need to ask for some adjustments and kit fees and prop rentals. And her communication style is crazy. So all you need to do is communicate very clearly. And I would use the phrase going forward. I took this month to really look at, how I want my 2024 to be. And going forward, this is what I'll do for you at this rate. This is what I'll do for you at this rate. Like, whatever it is that you would be okay with. And ask for what you want. Because if she goes away, as if she like lets you go, you're going to be fine. It just frees up your time to do other things.
Yeah.
So ask for exactly what you want at exactly the price you want and see if you get it. That would be a more important thing for you to do because it would build a muscle versus just being like, oh, well, let me see how I can try to keep this job. Because technically, at the moment, even though it seems a little scary, you don't need that job anymore.
Yeah, she said she was trying to generously be like, I know you wanted to learn from me, so I'm happy to teach you things. Why don't you tell me what projects you want to work on and what I can learn from, or that you want to, and what you want to learn. And like, as soon as she said that, my like internal voice was like, I'm good.
That's what I got from your question too. I'm like, I think she's done with here. I think you're done. Yeah. So just say, I'm happy to do this at this rate so that you are happy to be there. And then bless her and keep doing your good stuff. And you wrote in your victories, I'm working with client number 7. You're almost in the double digits from nothing, from no clients in your life to client number 7. Now you're moving and grooving and like, I need an assistant. I love it. Love it. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. All right, we are moving and grooving. This is good. Karen Eileen. Karen Eileen is a triple threat performer, also a voiceover coach. She's a cash flow tiger and victories worked on a commercial set last weekend. Filming at a location where I had a day job many moons ago. This unexpected joy of being on set there and having time with actors that you haven't seen in forever. That sounds so much fun. And you completed your university voiceover masterclass teaching it and really enjoyed it. And your grad student had a blast. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, your question. I'm just summing this.
Pick it. Yes, it's a lot. So pick the one that makes the most sense.
You are grieving. You are like, I still have things to do. How do I do that with grieving? How does a cash flow narrative get written from this current place? I know a few things are all or nothing, but can you help me chew on and brainstorm ways to stay connected to the artist self without being committed to finding and getting actor work while you seek your job? Like, how all you want to be doing is actor work and voiceover. Like, I totally get it, but the financial constraints, blah, blah, blah. So here is the thing, though, the bigger overarching thing. Grief is just a river you float down, like you have to float down it. And your job, the task is to be sad and do. And in order to do that, you had to be very kind to yourself while you do. And when you're grieving, you don't always feel like doing. So there's discernment that has to come into play. The discernment of, do I need time to not do? Or am I just kind of leaning into the grief so I don't have to do? Can I, let me stretch myself to do a little more than maybe I think possible? But there's a doing with the sadness, parallel tracks. And eventually the grief will get less and less. The waves will come less and less. But it's nothing you can escape from. And you don't have to rewrite a cash flow narrative. What you really want to do when your emotions are so big is to get down to the core of what really needs to get done, which is keep bringing in money, keep looking for the day job, you know, like maybe three things. And you just try to move yourself from one end of the week to the other end of the week in having moved the needle a little bit on those.
That's a much shorter list than I've been dealing with. So that right there is gonna help me a lot.
And it's really hard
Yeah.
when you don't have extra money. Money makes things a little bit easier.
Yes, it
Some
does.
things, you know.
Yeah, some
So when you
things,
don't
yes.
have money to make it a little easier to create breathing room and stuff, it's tough. It just is. And the kindness part comes in by not making this a moral failing. You're just in this spot with decisions that you've made, and you're also these things that are happening that are causing grief. And you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, not forcing yourself to, but asking of yourself to different energy there.
Yes, you're right. And the course, I didn't want to reschedule the university course because of the grief. And so I chose to go through this epic grief and need to stand up in front of rooms of people and teach. And that was hard AF. Like I don't I'm gonna for my budgeting, I'm gonna build in, I don't know what to call it, like a not a grief fund, but like take a week off for mental wellness fund or something. Like I need
Mental
to build
wellness.
mental wellness fund, like a week off if I need it. Do you know what I mean? But I didn't have that this time. So,
And but I also commend you for doing the experiment of like, okay, well, what will it feel like to teach in this grief?
Ooh.
But it's the exact same thing you would do if you were performing.
Yes. Yes. If I high class problem, if I was a serious regular, I would figure out a way to show up on set and be grieving. Do you know what I mean? And I had that thought. So,
Yeah, or auditioning or whatever. Like, well, that's why you were able to teach at this point of time, because you have those muscles already. You have those performer muscles, like rock solid, and you called upon them and you were able to do it. But it's not like life goes on and you just have to push through. No. But it's like reminding yourself the story inside your head is, look how strong I am. Look how strong I actually am. Not needing to build any muscles right now, just using the ones that I have. And I have really strong muscles that will keep putting one foot in front of my one of my feet in front of the other every day.
Wow, I have not been seeing that at all. So that's a really great
But
reminder. Like
you did that with your
I did
teaching.
it. I did. I literally sobbed my guts out on the way. And then I fixed my face and went in and I taught and they were awesome and I managed it. So,
There was a really, in 2015, there was a really difficult month I was going through, and I was literally sobbing before client, and I would just like fix my makeup and like, coach, and then I would like break down right after. Like, that's life sometimes.
Holy cow. This is the most extreme example I've ever had of it. It's my first time through, and it was very
You
epic.
did it.
I did it.
So remind yourself how strong you are. You did it. All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, so now we have some time. Craig, you ready?
I think so.
Hi. You're like, I think so. No, it's all good. So Craig has a business called The Vision Method, and he helps people emotionally heal through sound, holy fire Reiki, tarot, oracle card reading, and self-love coaching. And here's what you wrote. Since I started my business a couple years ago, it just feels like there's an element to my business that's missing. It has always felt incomplete or like I don't have a true grasp on my business's purpose. I haven't made any money from it, and it's been hard for me to figure out what exactly I'm selling. I've had several iterations of what my mission statement is and what the vision method itself is. It's just something I can't put my finger on exactly. So I need some help trying to figure that out. And you do have an Instagram, Facebook page at the Vision Method. You have a platform where your services are provided on. And then you have like a little website that I found Do I still have it up? That was like, let me find it again. The vision method, milkshake. Okay. So let me pull this into the chat. If I can do this amazing tech feat of technology. Okay, so I just put Craig's website into the chat. Okay, where are you? There you are. So I'm going to read this. Supporting queer men on their journey to live their authentic selves through one-on-one coaching, workshops, Reiki healing, and tarot. What I love about this is that you have a very explicit niche, queer men. And is that the group you want to work with? Like, that's the core.
Well, at that time when I made that website, it was. And then it's
Okay.
been, that was like the first iteration of that. Now it's,
Okay.
so now it's more so towards a dancer. Really, what, like, I'm a dancer, so like everything I want to do is with dance, but it's also to all performing artists as well. That's really where I want, my heart lies, is in that area, which kind of still encompasses queer people
Yeah.
anyway.
Okay, but really it's like performers. Okay. And do you don't necessarily sway just towards dancers?
No.
You would, okay. And do you want to work with male performers
Oh, it
or
didn't matter.
doesn't matter? Okay. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the website because people can click through, but I did want to read a little bit because what's happening on, and I'm not saying like this website because this is just one iteration at a specific time, but it illustrates the problem that a lot of people have when they're talking about their business. So, as a self-love coach, I help clients identify the limiting beliefs and habits and stories that hold them back from reaching their goals. Using proven wellness practices and tools, we work to find clarity and self-awareness to get to the root of what's holding them back so that my clients can create a life they love from the inside out. Now, to every single person who is a coach, all of that verbiage makes sense. Of course. Transformation and limiting beliefs. Like we all understand all of those, but those are called coachy words. And this is about what you do. So, in terms of the cash flow course, I talk about the sizzle and the steak. And you're delivering the steak. This is what I do. I use proven practices and we do this. And it's a lot of coachy language. And it's not directly talking to the person and the pain that they have that they're searching around for a solution for. People don't go searching for, I want to have more peace and I want transformation. Coaches do. But everyone who's not a coach isn't Googling for, like, I want self-confidence and I want clarity. So let me ask you a question. Why did you join Abundance Bound? What was the thing that even made you think to look for something like this?
Well, I found it on Instagram, and I think here, and then I joined. Well, really, just two basic reasons. One, because three. One, because my finances were crazy. Two, because of Nada and Black women. And three, because it's geared towards art. So I knew investment on my trainings, like, nothing talks directly to us. First thing that I did something.
Yeah. Your audio is, I understood what you said, but your audio is really crackly and breaking up.
Sorry, is this better?
Oh, that's so much better. Okay.
So one, I'll restate. So one is because my finances were crazy. Two, because of Miata being a Black woman and she owns this business, and I want to always support my people. And three, which is other part of my people, is because it's for geared towards artists specifically, and it's talking directly to us, unlike
Okay.
other programs who don't understand what's going on.
Correct. Great answer. I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to also ask you, why did you join Cashflow? Like, why are you here? What are the three, like, why this site?
Because I have this business that I can't really figure out what to do with,
Okay.
and I just need to figure it out because I really do enjoy what I do when I get to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So this is perfect. So the fact that Miata is a Black woman and that this program is geared for artists, that's why you picked this financial program.
Right.
The reason you were even like that her ad or whatever came up on your feed and you were like, whoa, what's that? Is because you were already sitting there inside your brain going, oh my God, my finances are crazy. It's driving me crazy. Like, I gotta figure this shit out. And then Abundance Bound came along and you're like, oh. But if you hadn't had, if you weren't thinking those thoughts of like, I gotta deal with my finances, it would have just come across and you wouldn't have registered it. Okay. So we wanna get to what are your clients thinking in their head that would when you come along they'd go, oh. And the reason they'd pick you is because you cater to performers. You may might pick you because you're queer. They might pick you because you're Black. Like all of those things might be like, he's my guy. But unless you're speaking to them in a language that says, hey, are your finances like crazy right now? And you're feeling like if you don't, like, my second question to you would be, okay, so what if you, though, don't join a program? What do you think is going to happen with your finances in this state? What is your fear?
That I would start to just keep going into the same, well, really using Abundance Bound language, pain cycle, really continue on doing that.
Yeah, I didn't want 3 more years of this pain and crazy, and I certainly didn't want it to get worse. And I was
Right.
afraid.
Yes.
Same with cash flow. Like, I have this business that I know could be great, that I know I can serve people with, and I gotta figure out how do I get those clients? How do I bring in that money? That's your pain point. And in this program is like, hey, hi. You know that business as a performer, that little side thing that you want to create money on? I can help you do that. Oh, okay. Well, let me then engage. So, all of the stuff that you have in your toolbox, the Reiki, the Tarot, the Oracle, all of your talents and skills, that's like how you work your magic with people.
Okay.
People don't care about any of that. I don't actually care how you work your magic. I just want to know that your magic will work on me and will solve my problem. So, what are the problems that you've seen performers have that in their language, what's going on in their head that you're like, oh, I can help you with that?
Well, I mean, now I'll speak for myself too, because I retired a couple of years ago, which is like there's mental noise in performances or before going to auditions, how to actually be in spaces with large amounts of people if you're an empathic or a highly sensitive person. Also, there's just this generation is very different than before, so it's been a lot of trying to what's the word I'm looking for? Build grit. I feel like there's not a lot of grit these days, So figure out how to do that. And I think too, just in general, to find peace of mind in life, especially living in a with lifestyle that is so is quote unquote untraditional, and it's so chaotic, and there's lots of things going on and lots of moving parts all the time, especially if you are an independent artist.
Hold on, I'm writing something down. Okay, so the thing that interests me very much is this whole empath, highly sensitive, empathic performers are amazing. They also are so sensitive to the chaos that surrounds the non-traditional life. So something that sounds where someone could like raise their hand, something around like I help sensitive, empathic performers feel calmer and become more courageous, even within the chaos of a professional career. That's not perfect, but it's sort of like the person's like, oh, he helps empathic, sensitive. That's me. Oh, yeah. I do want to feel calmer. Like you would talk a little bit more about, like, oh, how are you feeling inside? That prevents you from doing your best work. Because that's another great phrase. You're going to help them do their best work. And they know they have the talent and the emotional availability, but then life can make them like, and drain them. Not good. My sister was a highly sensitive person. They're not good at not letting life drain them.
No.
And they can't do their work because they're all like, nah.
All over the place all the time.
And the reason I like the phrase, do your best work, is it's tied to a bottom line result that is often tied to money. Because for them to give you money, people like to, the shorter line you can draw between the work you do and money for people, it helps them make investment in it. And it's sort of like, then it's about crafting language around, instead of saying you'll be transformed, it's like, walk me through that. I'm feeling like this. And then life makes me feel like this, and I can't do the work. But you can help me feel like this, and that will help me do my best work. That's the picture you want to paint. And there's a sample in Creating Cash Flow that I wrote for my organizing website. And there's copy that I pulled from another organizing website that was all about the stake. This is what we do. We'll help you do this. It's great. It's like, okay, yeah, they'll help you do this. But my copy was like written to the person who was sitting there at midnight, Googling the web, going, oh my God, my desk is just, my office is a shambles. I've got to fix this. And I was like, hey, are you feeling like this? Yeah, you're wondering how you can be so organized at work, but not at home? Yeah, oh, I get it. I can help you feel like this. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, I can help. I'm not even telling them what we're going to do or how I'm going to do it. It's just like, would you like to feel different? Yes. And I told them exactly how they're feeling now. So they're like, oh my God, is she inside my head? Because something about what Miata was saying on her website or what, however you found her, was resonating with like, oh yeah, she's definitely talking to me. So I want you to take a stab at writing something. You don't have to like put it online anywhere, but take a stab at writing something out about where your ideal client is at and how they're feeling and how it's interfering with their life. Paint that picture. And then I want you to paint the picture of like, it could be different. I can help you feel this way. I can help you feel this way.
Yeah, that's
Because
really helpful.
there's two things that I think are in the way of your business really finding people who will want to work with you.
Yeah.
One is you sort of putting your flag in the ground and going, these are the people I want to work with. And I don't care if it's super, super niche, like queer men, that's fine. That's a really tight, good niche, but highly, however you want to word it, empaths, performer empaths, empathic performers, something where they'll be like, oh, that's me. Use their language. So who you want to work with. And then the little description of what you actually do for them without using any coachy language. You have to use their vocabulary. No coachy language. It's really hard to do. Trust me, I've sweated this out so many times myself, just
That's
writing my
so hard.
website and ripping out the language and then looking, yeah. And so then when you have that, the next step is like, okay, who do I need to say this to? Who do I need to let know these are the people I work with? This is what I can do for them. And that's when the ball will really start to roll. So now, with all that I've said, how does that land with you? Do you have questions? Like what?
It lands with me on just me realizing that I didn't niche down enough. I wasn't as specific to performers. I just said performers in general, dance, whatever. And I didn't even think about my, because I'm an empath as well. So I didn't even think
I
about
figured.
myself, like helping myself, which initially was the idea of me in the first place doing this business. So I think that makes complete sense to me, and 'cause that was really been the hardest part, because even when I'm doing like when I would do like Instagram stuff or whatever, it'd just be like, anyone could have done what I posted. Like it wasn't anything like super specific, and I'm just like, love yourself, sparkle. Like, so it's very much so that is extremely helpful to me, because then I can do that, because I feel like I've also had too many ideas as well of like how this can shoot into different things. And so that actually just helps me to be very, very clear about that, about my the people who I'm talking to, the people that I actually can help, although everyone is still welcome, but we're talking to specific people. And then I actually feel like kind of like a lightness in my chest for the first time. I normally get really stressed out when I do anything that as regards to my business, because it is, as it's a lot. And I kind of just felt like I didn't really know what was going on. I was like, well, I'll just type things. So this actually makes so much more sense, because I think that once I get that really clear, I think like all the stuff that's kind of been my roadblocks, my pricing and my packages and all that other stuff, I think that's going to be crystal clear to me. So yes, it was very, very helpful. And I understand where you're coming from, and I get it.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that because what I do want to say about what I read that you had written online, it's very articulate. It's very clear. It's your vocabulary is wonderful. It was just the steak instead of the sizzle, but it was well written steak. So I have no doubt that you're going to have well written sizzle. And you're welcome to bring stuff back and go, how does this sound? And like, that's what we're here for, to kind of mold this. And I would encourage you, as you're starting out, make the business model, meaning how you're going to do your work and what you're going to charge for it and how it's packaged, super simple.
Yes.
Two options. You can
Yes,
do this
absolutely.
in a single session or three, so like super simple, so people can easily make the decision.
Yes, 100%.
And I want you to think about, so the things that you would talk about if you're going to post on social media, it's like, I would talk about like, how does our gift of empathy and sensitivity, those are not bad things. So you can talk about how I don't want you to think that these two qualities are bad. They are the root of your art. But how do they inhibit you? Or how do they prevent you from developing the grit that we also need? So what you're doing with your marketing is pointing out the problem. This interfere. You want to kind of point out what's not working so that people can go, yeah, that's not working. Oh, he has a solution. When I was a professional organizer, no one had heard about professional organizing. No one knew what that was. So I had to first share with them how they had this problem. It's like, does your cupboards look like this? Yeah. Are you, every time you pull out a cup, does 8 cups fall down? Yes. Oh my God, there's a solution for that. It's like, yes, that is what I do. Like all the little irritants of how their home wasn't working for them. And once they started to see what I could see, then they'd be like, oh, I might need to work with her. So your job is to get your group of sensitive, empathic performers to start going, okay, I can kind of see how this maybe isn't working. All right, what do you got? Now I'm open to listening to what you do. You can say, this is how Tarot can help. This is how I've used this with this client. And you can make up those clients. This is how I've used this tool. This is how I've used this tool. I have a lot of tools and I pick them specifically for what the person gravitates towards or what they need. But the purpose of the two, people are like, I do tarot. It's like, great. To what end though? What am I, why are we using this tool? People just talk about the tools. That's the stake. Instead of saying, yeah, but what's at the end of the tool? What do I get? And it can't just be clarity. It's like, but what does that mean in my life? So do it, do some work on that, bring any other questions back, and we'll just keep working for you to move forward and get clients. As I said, mentioned before, Helen, when she first joined Cashflow, she hadn't had any interior design clients. She's just like, well, I think I can do this. I like it. I think I'm good at it. And she had some skills. And it was just sort of like, who do you want to help? What's your message? How do you want to work? Like, and now she's on her client number seven in a very short period of time. And you are 100% capable of this because there are so many sensitive, empathetic performers out there who have some extra cash. That's not their problem. Their problem is they're getting in their own way. And they've probably tried. That's another thing you can talk about. People who are going to come to you, a few of them, this will be their very first attempt at solving this problem, but more than likely, people have tried other things. So you can speak to, like, have you been working on this and it hasn't worked? I can help. Have you been doing this? Yeah, it hasn't worked for you. Yeah, it didn't work for me either. I can help. Like you can do that kind of stuff in your marketing as well.
That makes sense.
But I'm so excited for you because this sounds like you have the skills. You just it's just the marketing part.
It's been real rough
Well, you are
trying to
in the right,
transfer.
you're in the right spot. You're in the right spot.
Work on
All right.
it.
Thank you. Yeah,
Thank you.
you're very welcome. Okay. Evan. Evan, is a cash flow cat? Aren't you a tiger by now? I think you're a tiger by now. I think you have
Maybe.
some coin. Okay. Evan is a voiceover performer and he does technical writing for engineering companies. The man uses both sides of his brain. What can I tell you? And victory report, you finally entered into a contract with your friend's new division at his company to provide technical writing assistance with their documentation and templates. I'm billing them hourly for my time and they're very flexible with my schedule. I mean, what more? What more can we ask for? So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, so your question was basically imposter syndrome. There is a voice in my head that tells me that even though my current engineering client values the work that I do for them, my level of knowledge, expertise, and training will not be enough for any other potential clients because this person's your friend. They're literally just pitying you with this job, I'm sure. I have a minor in professional writing, not a bachelor's or a master's. I don't have any certifications from professional organizations. And beyond official pieces of paper, there's so much I feel like I should know, but that I don't, like more in-depth industry standards for technical writing and tools of the trade beyond Microsoft Word. I know I can expand my knowledge with more training, but that's expensive and I'm not sure I can invest in it. So I'm feel stuck wondering if my current knowledge and experience is enough. The reason I want to talk to you about this is because I'm sure nobody else can relate who's on this call or who's listening. Okay, I bet you've heard me say this before, but I have a bachelor's degree in theater. That's it. That's all my professional training. That's it. I have no certifications in coaching. I have nothing but a bachelor's degree in theater. So I just want to say that while degrees and certification and training can be helpful, they're also in certain areas not necessary. Now, I know that coaching is different from engineering and technical writing, but there has to be a point at which you just start experimenting with how much money can I make with just what I got up here already? Because this is your side business to your performing career. If you were coming to me going, I want to do this full time, I'd be like, well, let's talk about training. Like, what does your industry need? All we want you to do is make a bunch of money with this writing so that you can go and do voiceover and not
Right.
rely on your art to make the money at the moment. That's it. So, until you've exhausted everyone in the United States who needs technical writing, and every single person has been like, now you need to have this degree or certification, until we know that for sure, you're just going to see how far you can get without it.
Okay.
I have a colleague of mine did a lovely like workshop on imposter syndrome. It's free, it's online. I'm gonna post that online and link you to it so you'll get that. That'll
Okay.
be good to listen to. But really, Evan, it boils down to you just going, right now, I think I'm enough. Right now, I think what I know is enough. And there are going to be clients for me that my enough is enough for them as well. You might encounter people who are like, well, what's your degrees in training? And you'll be like, no, I just have this, a minor in the, and it won't be enough for them. Great, they're not your people. There's going to be more people who think you're not enough, but you're not interested in any of them. There's going to be enough people who think you are enough. But we have to prove that. Until that's proven otherwise, let's just assume. Because imposter syndrome is a story, it's fiction. Equally fiction is the story of, like, I think I got it. I think I'm enough. So it's just which story makes you feel better? They're both fiction, they're both completely made up. You telling yourself, I think I've got this. That's made up. That's you just deciding, I think I got this. But you can get pretty darn far much farther than you think. Just going, yeah, I think I got this. Just telling yourself that story and seeing how it plays out. Because if you can find another client and then another client that are your right people, mm-hmm. then you don't have to invest anything else to make money. And here's the thing. If you are like, no, 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 I'm going to go get this program, this certificate. You could spend the money, go get trained, and still have imposter syndrome. Because there's always going to be something else you don't know. So I'd like you to get comfortable with not knowing some things.
Okay.
That's the bigger muscle. Is I need to get used to this discomfort that I don't actually know everything. And sometimes I'll be flying by the seat of my pants. And sometimes my work won't be 100%. But that's okay. They're probably paying you less than they'd pay somebody else. As long as you can do a job that they can't do or don't want to do, that's what they're paying you for.
Yeah.
Not to know everything and to do it perfectly. They're like, your marketing, I mean, if we're going to get down to the core, it's like, hey, do you got this technical writing shit that you don't want to do or don't know how to do? I'm your guy. Pretty go much. Get those clients. go get those clients. And let's see if there's enough of those clients to pay your rent and you not having to learn anything else.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you can't find them, there's a conversation about how do we find them. Mm-hmm. But until you come back to me and you're like, no, I've like scoured all 50 states and I need this degree. I'm like, okay, then go get it if you want it.
Okay.
But I'm unconvinced, Evan. I'm unconvinced that you are not enough. So you have a lot of work to convince me before I'll allow you to move on.
Okay.
Okay. And congratulations. Congratulations on the contract.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for the encouragement. This helps a lot.
Awesome. Danny is a performer, also day job substitute teaching. And okay.
It's a lot. You don't have to read it out loud. No. It's too much.
I'll summarize. Okay, so you were, part of this question was you said that you were finally getting your acting classes for kids off the ground while you're back in Michigan, and you wanted to talk to me about it and see if I have any other gems of wisdom to share around making it more fruitful, both financially and emotionally.
Right.
As well as bringing the value to the kids. The other question that I really felt would be valuable also for everybody is you bought this program, you invested $1,000 in Abundance Bound, your year is coming to an end, and you're like, ah, I didn't get what I wanted to get out of it because I wasn't able for legit reasons to put in the time and to do the things, to get myself to do the things mm-hmm. that I was hoping I would get myself to do during this year. And if I'm going to continue, it means raising the monthly expenses to cover the monthly membership in Abundance Bound.
Right. Yeah. And these are unforeseen, unforeseen things that has to do with a lot of trauma and survival mode and terminal diagnoses in my family. All kinds of the really fun stuff of life, right? Life, mm-hmm. life has been lifing this year. So hard. On top of me, you know, being one of those full-time actors prior to the strike who then had to go, what the heck am I going to do to make a living? And the living that I'm making, although I'm grateful for being able to like come spend more time with family in Michigan in between like my Atlanta and New York, moving situation, like the substitute teaching, which I love and I'm getting so much out of, and I love those kids, is just nowhere near what I was making as a full-time actor for TV and film. So yeah, all of that and trying to figure out how do I not go into my typical like shame cycle around wasting money when I got into this in the first place to figure out my finances so that I could feel more empowered about that area of my life. But then like, yeah.
It yeah. is. Let's look though at the reality of what actually happened. Because this happens sometimes. You're like, okay, I want to like get a better handle on my finances. Okay, I'm going to join this program and then I'm going to learn from the thing and then I'll get out of the pain cycle and get into the power cycle. That is the arc that you thought you were going to take with Abundance Bound. So you found it and you invested in it and life happened. Like a pandemic that knocked you out of the way you were supporting. Then you moved states. Then you had family stuff that came up. Then you had mental well-being stuff for yourself. Then you had to find a survival job in the new state that you're living in. That, none of that did you know you were gonna have to like deal with. So let's be realistic that it wasn't like you made this really weird decision in the midst of chaos in your life and plunked down $1,000 thinking you wouldn't. Like, I'm in the middle of chaos. Surely I'll be able to do a program like this. Like, that wasn't your scenario. You were like, okay, I think this is the right time. Turned out it was probably a really difficult time in which to apply yourself to a program like this.
Yeah.
So most of this is not your fault. Most of it you couldn't foresee. This is one of those just bummer coincidences of timing in life.
It just feels like such a massive, I don't want to say waste, because I have gotten on like some power hours at the beginning of all of this before everything hit the fan. I was like doing some power hours and I've gotten on a couple of these coaches, but it feels substantially like I probably put about $700 down the toilet because I'm also not walking away with the skill set of I never even tracked, Christine. Like, I literally never even did my 3 to 6 months of tracking. Like, that's how much I didn't get into it. And I apologize if you guys can hear my dog, but that's one of the other blessings I have, is that my fur baby has significant doggy dementia. And that's another big thing that I'm dealing with. And he's sundowning right now. So he's starting to get really agitated because it's nighttime. Yeah. That's when I'm awake. So I'm not sleeping very much. So sorry if that gets loud, but that's what we're doing over here. So it's just been one thing after the other. And I'm just like, I really want to... I'm probably not even at the point where I can really invest my time into the program again, but it does feel like the better part of at least 6 months of the program I just couldn't do. And I know that there's some monthly fee. I think it's like $50 a month or something. And so it's like, not only do I feel like that money just didn't get utilized properly, but I'm still financially trying to recover. Could I just spend the $50 a month again? Probably, but like, is it the right time to do that? Maybe not. And so anyway, just trying to figure out if there was any mental mindset things to remind ourselves of during times like this, where there's no going backwards to fix that, but it is what it is. But how do I find like resolution about it in my mind? Because I don't like to be honey.
Yeah, nobody does. No. And I think most everybody has already or will encounter a specific timing thing like yours, where it's like, oh, I just invested this and can't do it.
Yeah.
I read Daniel Pink's book about regrets. And basically it's boiled down to, well, you take what you learned from that and try to apply it in the future, like the learning from it. And sometimes there's things to learn that you can't apply, and sometimes there's not. And to be very kind to yourself around it. Sometimes life just doesn't work out. And that is, you're going to have all the feelings about it. I don't, you know, all the feelings are going to be there. But what you're, the story you're going to create about it and about yourself, that's what's really important and what is more under your control. What is the story you're going to tell yourself about this? Oh my God, I didn't take advantage of this wonderful opportunity, a story that makes you feel like shit, or a story that puts everything in enough perspective that you're able to be like, okay, onward.
Yeah.
Not necessarily feeling great, but just able to move through and past it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, speaking broadly, life is very fluid and we don't know what's in store for us. And when things have come up that we're like, oh my God, I had no idea. Like, could I put a pause on this or whatever? You can always go to the person in charge and say, here's my circumstances. Here's what I'm thinking. Is this possible? You never know what's possible until you ask. Yeah. They might say no, but there's often opportunities for things to be worked out. Now, I'm not speaking for Miata or anything like that. And I have no like control over that. But I'm a firm believer that if I were in your shoes, reaching out to the person, it's like, why not?
I think, you know, that when I think about doing that, for some reason, and the reason that I haven't is because I have this, I mean, it just is what it is. I need to work mm-hmm. on my inner narratives, but a narrative around feeling like I'm making excuses, or somebody might think that I'm making excuses. I don't know why that's there, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why that's there, but it is.
And what is the fallout, I guess, for lack of a better word, if someone's thinking, oh, she's just making excuses?
Just my own want to not have people think negatively of me in that way, because I know that I'm like a really hard worker and that I don't slack off and like all of those things, right? So that's just perception needs, I suppose. But yeah, there really is no fallout, I guess. Not any real fallout, probably.
Yeah. So reflect on your intentions of this is for everybody. Like, if you're preparing or considering making a request for the exception to be the exception to the rule, kind of thing, reflect on your intentions. And if you feel that you're coming from a place of integrity, and you know that you feel in alignment with your own integrity around the request you're making, get there. If you can't get there, there might be some therapeutic work to be done to get there. Or maybe you're like, oh well, when I really reflect on it, I guess it was mostly just me slacking off and blah blah blah, which, by the way, is not your situation. So get in alignment with your request. And then start reflecting on, like, if I'm in alignment and I'm in integrity with this request, how can then I be okay with releasing the control around what this person might think of me, of what the answer to my request might be? Like, all of that is out of your control. Alignment and the acknowledgement that it's out of your control after you make the ask.
Yeah, you're right.
But you will never, you don't get what you don't ask for.
Totally.
Ever. And if you ask, you sometimes do get something. So you are worth the ask, Danny. I would say that in any situation in your life, you're just one of those people who lives life in a very particular way, who I would say would probably always be worth the ask. I'm sure if I look back through your life, it's not littered with you like being out of integrity, taking advantage of people, like squandering resources, just always needing to be the exception to the rule. Like, that's not you.
Yeah. Thanks. You're right.
And the from the biggest picture, this is about you having your back. This is about you having your own back. And that's, it doesn't matter if Miata will have your back or whoever's in charge will have your back. First and foremost, you've got to have your own back, meaning you've got to acknowledge with honesty who you are as a person and what a great person you are. And you're worth the ask. And when you have your own back around you being worth the ask, and coming from a place of integrity, you'll actually feel less concerned about what people think.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I did not even think about that whole, like, having the alignment conversation. So that's really helpful. All right.
Yeah. Because life intervened with your plans in a really big way. In a really legitimate way. You didn't create this chaos.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between someone who's just like out of control and self-sabotaging all over the place and then was like, I didn't do anything for a year. Can I please? That's not you. And that's not your circumstances.
Right.
You're afraid someone will think that. But you and I know that's not true.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. And okay, so let's just say you make the ask and it's a no-go. Then, excuse me. I'm going to be very, very honest. Okay. There, when in my 20s, I didn't have any money. I was working as an actor and I was like doing things, getting my organizing business. Like, I had money, but like, you know, it was slim. And this was before the internet. I would go to Barnes and Noble, I would go to Samuel French, and I would like read books, but take notes because I couldn't afford to buy the book itself. So I would just take all those notes. And then when I wasn't able to like afford things, like, I might join programs, and like Abundance Bound, it's all on the platform. There's not stuff that can be downloaded. But you know what I've done? I've turned on GarageBand, or back in the day, I had a tape recorder and I would play the stuff and just tape record it so that I could have the stuff after I was going to get, you know, unable to, you know, I'd have to leave. sometimes I'm a firm believer that when your soul has a calling for a dream in life, like I want to be a performer, and your goal right now is to get back into the swing of full-time performing when your life circumstances allow you to do that. So it's like, this is what I'm going to need to get there. By any means necessary. Legally. You know what I mean? But like, by any means necessary. I have this thing that I'm called to do. I know it will help the world, and I'm sharing my gifts, and that will help make the world a better place. So how can I make this work for me without harming anybody else? Mm-hmm. So then if it's a no-go, you make the decision of like, okay, I have this much time left. What can I glean? I'm not going to be able to do anything right now, but what could I pick and find and save and record and screenshot and shit?
Yeah.
So that I have some of this knowledge that you paid for, by the way.
Right.
You're not, you didn't come in here under somebody else's code and then screenshot the whole shit. And it's not, you know, so that you can use.
Yeah.
Or how do I decide, okay, I'm going to pay for 3 extra months. I'm going to extend my membership for 3 more months and then do some stuff or do the whole screenshotting or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to look around. Part of what will help you up here is going, there are options.
Right.
I ask, I have the time I have left. I could extend that time. I can come back. And maybe the ask, if it's like, you ask for what you want and then see if there's negotiation, and maybe the negotiation, okay, you can come back after a period of time at this like rate or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just processing a lot right now. So
yeah.
I need to like take it all in and think about all of it. I'm not meaning to like not respond, but
no.
All very helpful. So thank you very much.
And re-listen to this, because it'll help walk you through it again. Okay. Guys, we are already over and anew. You're the only one I didn't get to. But let me just say, congratulations on your victory. That's amazing. And I know that you're having trouble blocking your time and sticking to it.
Mine's an easy, quick one, I think.
Okay. But you can do this. That's
all I need to hear.
You answered. You were like, I read this. I'm like, oh, she totally knows what she needs to do. I can hear myself in the question. I'm like, she's got this.
Okay, Christine, this is the thing. This is why I haven't shown up, because I'll hear your voice in my head and I'll be like, and I'll say the thing, and then I'll be like, I'll say the question, and then I'll be like, this is what I need to do. All right, cool. I guess I don't need to come, because I already need to know what I need to do. I just need to do it.
Yeah. Once I'm haunting all of you forever, my job here will be done. So all I want to do is haunt people on earth. You guys are amazing. This was amazing, getting 15 things. I'm sorry. It was like a whip through, but see you guys in 2 weeks, I guess. I think.
Thank you, Christine.
Hi, thanks, Kate. Everybody. Thank you for being in the comments.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Christine.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful